Hi, this week we are talking authority and expectation, how we can use them to strengthen our resolve or how they can trip us up. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. We are exploring the mystical side of life once again this week. If you enjoy our conversations, remember to subscribe, share with a friend. Today, we are talking about personal authority and what a difference that makes in your life when you embrace your own authority. We have holistic health empowerment coach Carla Atherton with us. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you for having me, Linda. I'm so excited to be here.
So I think it's important for everyone to recognize that everyone has authority. It's not just within our health crisis that we give our power away, but we do that all over the place throughout our life until we really connect with our power. So, when you're teaching people how to connect with their authentic power, how do you step into that teaching for people? That's a lifelong teaching, really, right?
Yeah, and it's a tough one too. I mean, it's actually where I start now. I used to start with easy tips, right? Lifestyle hacks and, what you're eating and what you're doing with your day and do you have a good morning routine and setting up, all that kind of stuff. And that's important. But really now what I start with is unpacking really how, and I'm going to use the word conditioned here. Okay. So, how we are conditioned to believe and our belief systems and that kind of thing. So, if we're conditioned to believe that health is found in a hospital rather than your garden, or that you can only get so far if you only do these particular practices, and then if you're not doing that, there's something wrong with you. If we're always moving about thinking about win-lose metrics, right? Like I won this, but I lost this, or I have this diagnosis that means that, and I have this prognosis and this means that. And so what we do first is we start to unpack all of that stuff. And really, it just takes a few little hints. It just takes a little bit of a shift in how we think about things and how we feel about things, how we imagine things and what we do in our lives, and then how we be. I mean, it really ultimately comes out to that. So that's where I start people really is to start shifting their focus on, let's say, expectations, which is a really good one, and into the possibility of their health. And that changes everything. It changes everything. It changes what you do, how you're feeling about things. Like it just happens automatically with really simple shifts of perspective. Yeah.
Those same mind shifts can benefit you on your spiritual path, on your career path, on your relationship path, all across the board.
Yeah, and it's so interesting when you start to look at it. Like if you go, okay, well, why is this bothering me? Or why is this creating this, like I feel stuck, or I feel like I should be, ascending. As soon as you start to say the word should, as soon as you start to say the word should, I'm like, hey, stop shoulding all over yourself. Stop it. Stop it. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you could have, the best intentions and think that this is where I'm supposed to get to, and this is where I'm going to be ascended, and where I'm going to be, this evolved being, and then this is what we're here to do. But as soon as we start shooting all over ourselves, according to what we believe, what these outcomes are supposed to be, finger waving and feeling shameful and all that kind of stuff, that's when we stop. Like, this is what I think. When we desire deep wellness, what is usually keeping us from that sense of deep wellness is a disconnect. So we're either disconnected from ourselves, from each other, from the world around us and the universe. Okay. So as soon as we start shooting all over ourselves and trying to get, somewhere that we think we should be rather than where we desire, right? Instead of being motivated by desire, we're motivated by shoulds. that's when we disconnect. And then we have this sense of we're not deeply well, right?
Do you think it starts with our self-talk? That's where the shift has to start?
Yeah, I do actually, because the mind wants to be in the driver's seat. And it should really be like, you know, some suggestions in the back, in the back seat, right? Our true selves, right? Our unique, authentic selves, that's in the driver's seat, not the ego necessarily. You know, we might take some direction, but it's really just a filter. And so when we can start saying, hey, mind, you know, I recognize that you're just a thought. And I recognize that some of those thoughts really are going to help me to you know, become deeply well, or to whatever these aims we have or these desires we have. As soon as we start realizing that, yes, it changes everything. So when I say something like that to like a client or a friend or, you know, some of the teenagers in my life, and I say, hey, you know, you have this expectation. You're given, let's say, mental wellness, right? You're given a diagnosis of you're bipolar. And, you know, this is what to expect when you're bipolar. Then as soon as I say, you know, let's move that out of expectation. Like, you know, what do you expect to happen? What do you think your life's going to be like? And then what do you want? You know, and this is what they want. Oh, I don't want that. And then what the possibilities could be as soon as we start getting present and still, and just like making that one shift. There are many, many more that can happen, but you know, just that one shift. Or your body, right? You know, prison into playground. I'm in this body and I want to ascend it and I want to be something different. I feel like this is a burden to me, you know, to have this body. Well, if we didn't have this body, we wouldn't have this experience. Like, this is why we're embodied, right? I mean, I don't know what you think about this, Linda, but I really love, I think that this rings very true to me, that we are all fractals of the whole, right? And so it's really this, like, it's life itself learning about itself. It's source itself learning about itself through each of us. And so our bodies are really important. They're part of this. They're our vehicle.
Absolutely. A cell in the body of God, if you like.
Sure. Love that.
Now, Carla, you talk about deep wellness. You're not just talking physical wellness, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, again, you know, the body's just one layer, dimension, density. I like the word density when you talk about the physical body, the mental body, the emotional body, the imaginal body. So yeah. And did I say physical? Right. So we've got all these densities and I think they're all equally important. And I think if we ignore any one of them, right? Any one of them, you know, even if we feel like we are evolved enough that we are beyond the body, I actually don't think that's true. I think that the body is a beautiful thing. When people say your body's your temple. Yeah. Like, let's treat it that way, because this is how we experience this life. And for me, I love being present in my emotional body, or being present and thinking about my thinking, you know, that metacognitive idea, or I love the spiritual and exploring all that stuff. And being out in nature and the stillness. And I love all of that, every single layer, but I love being embodied. I love actually feeling it. I don't want to necessarily leave that behind. And I think that when we reject how we feel in our body and in our emotional body, that's when we start going, we're still using a medication, like as in meditation, right? So meditation, love it, you know, but we can also use it to bypass all of these embodied experiences we're having because we think they're bad. Again, these expectations, you know, these conditioning that this is good, this is bad, this is how we should feel, this is how we should not feel, right? So rather than that, it's to embrace it and to be with it and to be still in it and to move through it and to learn from it. It's like the hero's journey, you know, you come back out and all those cycles keep going and going and going. And this is how we evolve. Not by, you know, pretending like the body's not as important as the spirit, or that it's something base and to leave behind like some kind of discarded shell. You know, I think it's part of the experience of us being alive.
I think that is a fairly common idea, that the body isn't as important as the spirit in the spiritual community. And yet here we are with a body. We're with a body for a reason. right? Mm-hmm. Like you say, we're here to bring spirit into this world. We're here to embody our spirit and experience it in multidimensional ways, even here in 3D, right?
Exactly.
So our expectations can trip us up with tapping into our own authority, and our expectations can also strengthen our own authority depending on what you expect, right?
True. But okay. And here's the thing though with expectations, okay? Because even if you expect that, okay, I was listening to your podcast with RJ Spina, right? And he's talking about how he expected that he was going to get better. Well, what if he didn't? What if he didn't? It's not even a question to him because he knew it. But when we expect a certain outcome, sometimes we are muting the possibility of what else could be. And sometimes it's even better. You know, I actually don't even want to use the judgments of better or worse, right? So it's just different. I mean, we could talk about soul journeys or why we chose to be here, all these different things that we really don't know. Like we can't actually know all of the moving parts. There's just no way. And so to be able to surrender to whatever that possibility will be, it's so freeing. And that's what I mean by deep wellness too. It's so freeing. It frees you from less than, not good enough. I didn't meditate well enough. I didn't, you know, go to the right ashram. You know, I didn't eat well enough. Like all that stuff just starts to fall away and you literally feel free. And it's not surrender as in you have no agency either. It is effort and non-effort, that yogic principle. Right? You know, but you just know when to just kind of put on the gas and let off the gas. And when you just surrender to what's going to happen, it's very freeing and it's very empowering at the same time. It sounds paradoxical, but it isn't.
I think that some of the ways our expectations trip us up is that we get too detailed on how the outcome actually looks or how it comes to us. Quite often, it's been my experience, you put something out into the universe and it comes back to you. You get it, but not in the way that you expected it or the way that it looks. Maybe a little bit of putting out and letting go is what we need to do.
Yes, because that's the beauty of seeing what comes of it. Like if we're always controlling it, and we're always looking to make something out of something, there's so much wasted energy doing that. Because for one thing, it's never, I mean, I would challenge anyone to think of a time when you had an expectation and it turned out exactly how it was. Like, for instance, I never would have thought I would be doing this in my life right now. Like not in a zillion years. It didn't even exist. This kind of work didn't even exist. Like I actually made up my name for what I do because I just allowed the expression of my life and my expression of myself to just kind of, again, the word evolve or expand or whatever that was going to be. If I had just focused on an expectation, I don't know, I might've been sitting in an office right now as a psychologist and really very unhappy because I wasn't living what I desired, truly desired to do. I don't think anything ever turns out the way, exactly the way. And so when you surrender to that and be really excited and curious rather than controlling in your life, again, you're so free. I mean, it's stepping into the flow, right? It's stepping into the flow of deep wellness.
I think it's more fun to live that way too. If you have to have rigid control and have everything turn out exactly the way you think, it's almost as if you think you know better than the universe, spirit, God, whatever you want to call the creative intelligence, right?
I'm going to just give you one example. Dance. Okay. So I took a dance class with my daughter. And I'm like, let's go do some fun. Like, so we took a hip hop class. I thought, I'm a good dancer. I can hip hop dance. You know, like, this is so fun. And I couldn't do a thing in that class because it was choreographed and I was going the wrong way. And I was so like embarrassed. And I'm like, there's no way I'm doing a performance with you guys. Like, I would totally make a fool of myself. I actually had less fun when the choreography was imposed upon my body when I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do with the music. And for me, like if we go out, like there's a wedding or somewhere we can dance or we dance around at home, you know? And if there's that opportunity, I am like crushing it. I'm having so much fun. I'm just in that experience. Isn't that what you would prefer than having choreographed steps that you're supposed to do? And then, yes, we did a really good job of that. But yeah, you're so right, Linda. Was it fun? Was it joyful? Did it have any sort of purpose other than to have this, like, well, I don't really even know why we did that. You know, I did this because I wanted to. And I love it when people say, and I say this to my clients all the time too, don't do anything you don't want to do. Like, don't do anything you don't want to do and see what happens. Even just experiment with that for a week, because you'll start to see what the conditioning is and what your desires are. You'll start to listen to yourself, listen to your body, listen to your mind, what you need right now. Even if it's something that you think is going to get you from A to B or where you think you want to go, because you're going to go where you're flowing. And that's what deep wellness is to me.
And you're going to see where you appease others or put your authority outside.
Yes, exactly.
I do want to challenge you a little bit about the idea of placing the authority solely within yourself, because so many people think that that means their conscious mind has authority. So I like to think of it more as a collaboration with your spirit, your higher self, and your conscious mind, that is the authority. Or if you're going to give your authority over to someone or something, that would be that wise, all-knowing, eternal, divine aspect of you.
Yeah, I suppose it is a collaboration. You know, I like the word intuition. I loved what Zen was saying on your podcast about like inner guidance system. I mean, whatever you call it, it's really just tapping into a knowingness, right? Like that's what I would say is it's just this knowingness. And so that's what I talk about when I say awareness, right? Like it's being aware. I think actually part of this, a very big part of this excavation, okay, let's say, is of the unconscious. And so as we keep doing that, we can start to see where it's a conditioning, where it's a belief that was taught to us from birth, or where, you know, it's an experience that happened that we're returning to over and over again that's affecting how we're acting today, or where that trigger lies, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm making this decision right now, and that's because I was triggered by something. But as we start to pull all that up, we can actually use our mind. I think that's a very good tool, but it's a tool. And it's a filter, and it is a way to understand. And I always tell people, okay, so we can understand here, and that's great. And as we really understand that this is a tool and it's a filter, and our thoughts are not us, they're not necessarily true. Is this true or not true? And then if I say if it's true or not true, is it because of my conditioning or is it because it's really not true? So we're still always kind of like puzzling that out, but we can get really very rigid in that. And that can cause a lot of overwhelm and anxiety is, you know, all this overthinking. So that's very left brain, right? So when we move it into the right brain, the integration, the knowing when to stop, be still, be present, flow, you know, like do some chakra work, all that stuff. And then we can go from here, right? And it drops into here and we know.
How do we do that, Carla?
Stillness. I have this short list. It's really not a long list. It's getting still. And so breath work will bring you back. And people say like, we want to get out of the body. Well, actually sometimes we want to get into the body because that's a way for us to understand where those energy centers are, where we feel the energy centers. So it's always like dropping into the heart for me. Sometimes I feel it in that creative center a little bit lower, you know, like belly button area or whatever like that. So if you want to locate it in the body, that's where I would say those things are. But doing things like breath work, and that is, it's literally like telling the mind, it's okay. I know you got me, but I got you too. And we don't need to think about this anymore. We can just be for a little bit. You can take the back seat and the body will do the work. The body will release the emotion. The body will allow things to flow. The body will recalibrate and reharmonize, right? So things like breath work is one of those things. Being out in nature. You go out in nature, literally. And I love that Rumi quote. Are you not a drop in the ocean, but the ocean in a single drop? Isn't that beautiful? And you don't have to overthink, why am I here? What is this? What's my purpose? What's you look at a bee doing its thing, right? And you're literally in awe, and you don't have to go, well, the bee has this many legs and it has this many, and this is what its purpose is in life. It's just alive. And it literally holds the answers of everything that we could ever understand about life itself, because it's a fractal of the whole, just as we are. So as we are just still and quiet with ourselves, we're just being. I didn't really mean be and then being. I didn't mean to do that. Like, seriously, I didn't. But if you're out in nature, that's another way, because we live so unnaturally. And we even impose unnatural ways of being in this pursuit of enlightenment, right? Because I'm uncomfortable and this fly's bugging me and I'm trying to meditate, but I have to do it perfectly. That's a real story. Okay. It's like, I'm trying to be this perfect meditator. It was like, why am I doing this? So we can still even have fun and have rich, deep experiences with these things we're taking very seriously in the metaphysical world, right? I think that there needs to be some lightness and some literally just plugging in and not doing so much. Get out in nature, breathe, walk, stretch. There's a few others. And when I say meditate, I mean literally just still and like, it's good. Just mind, you can just chill and I'm going to go into my heart. There's one actually practice that I love is literally just like to put my hands like this. And I feel it right now. Like Linda, I feel it right now. It's like I'm conjuring this. It's opening like a flower. It's simple. It is, but not easy in this environment that we live in right now.
It can be as simple or as complicated as we expect. Right?
Oh man, you're good. You're good. Look at that. Look at that. You wove the tapestry. You found the tendrils and you put it together so beautifully. It's exactly right. Yeah.
I love that you had suggested we all lighten up, because spirit is light. It loves light. It loves laughter and joy, and all of the light emotions help raise our vibration. And then we have that connection that we're all seeking. So seriousness and having to do things right and having to follow a specific step. You know, sometimes our spirit has other plans for us and our path detours. And that's where our wisdom lies, in the experiences that are right ahead of us.
Exactly. And love it. I heard someone say a few weeks ago that laughter moves the spirit. Right? Again, we're talking about flow, stepping into the flow of deep wellness. And laughter, that's actually on my short list. And touch, right? Laughter, touch, very healing.
Can I say mindful touch?
Yes. And I mean hugs. I mean, you know, like even self-massage. And there are like a lot of studies and such that we could go into that talk about when you're not touched, because there's this disconnect in that physical sense from others. So babies that aren't held, you know, I wrote in one of my poems that babies die when they're not touched, and so do mothers. And that was a line in a poem that I wrote about this journey with my daughter, but that's another story for another time. But I had to add that because I find touch can be so healing, just like a gentle, like even in a yoga class, you know, like where you're holding, and the touch went, you're holding here. And you go, oh, yeah, I am holding there. Or the pain releases. And, you know, it's like all that tension moves away. So yeah, that is on the short list, my short list. But I love that you mentioned laughter, Linda, because it moves the spirit. Isn't that the truth? I laughed my head off when I had a dissected carotid artery, and most people don't do that.
What really makes me smile, Carla, is that what you've shared about your short list are things that we all do naturally before our mind gets in the way, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's what has happened culturally, right? Is that gets in the way. And we live very unnaturally right now in our culture. Like everything is scheduled and forced and imposed, and it's all based on shoulds and policies and systems and, you know, managing people. We're not able to express and to flow in an environment like that, unless we purposely examine it and we unpack and do the work that we're doing here, right? And the work that all of your listeners do and all the people you talk to. So yeah, and that's, again, nature is flow. Like, you know, it is. And all you have to do is observe it and know and tap into what our true nature is and our place in it and reconnect to self, others, and the world around us, right? Reconnecting to that.
Nature is uncontrollable. Life is uncontrollable. And the problem, I think, is anchored in our desire to control it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so much fun talking with you, Carla. Where can we send people to learn more about your work?
Thanks, Linda. Well, I have a website. I have two of them, actually. And healthyfamilyformula.com is the first website. That's my practice that is a little bit more family oriented. And that's where I started out. But my baby right now, actually, is my sister practice called CarlaAthertonInspired.com. And that's where I do most of my work now. I also have a practitioner training program, and I run groups and a program called Take Back Your Health and Power. And so I walk people through all of this stuff with tons of support. So CarlaAthertonInspired.com. And I have a podcast that I try to do it every week, but I really do it when I feel inspired. And so that's called Your Health Revolution with Coach Carla Atherton.
Perfect. Thank you again, Carla.
Thank you, Linda. It's wonderful. I love talking to you.
And thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You will find all of our conversations on YouTube, iHeartRadio. Come visit me at thoughtchange.com to learn what energy medicine can do for you. While you're there, check out my program, Alchemy from the Inside Out, to discover the magic that already lies within you. That's it for this week. We'll see you again next time. Bye for now.